Once again, John Harbaugh hanging out with us, ESPN Boise on the Little Caesars Hot and Ready. John, my name is John. My father's name is Jack. And my brother's name is Jim. So wow. I feel really comfortable talking to Coach Harbaugh right now.
That's crazy.
That's weird.
It's crazy.
Are you all on radio and entertainment and all that?
No, we're not. I was the only bad seed there, I guess. Everybody else got they got real jobs, Coach. Playoff expansion, a lot of people are talking about this, and I want to get your take because, heck, your team last year at kind of an 8-8, almost kind of rebuilding season, might have been able to squeak in. Your thoughts on playoff expansion, it seems somewhat inevitable. My thing that I want you to talk about, too, is only one team getting a first-round bye in each conference. I mean, that creates a whole other race between the two top teams. Just your thoughts on possible playoff expansion?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it sounds like the league seems to support it. And I
could talk to you all day about the college at Marshall, what you did to the 1AA level, but when you came in 98, and we were talking about this earlier, Randy, did you have any idea you were going to take the league by storm the way you did in 98? Was that part of the plan, or were you a little surprised yourself?
Well, I really set my mind into going in and dominate. I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. No player does.
Okay, here's my two cents. This is what I would tell a Boise State fan that I would talk about this with at the gas station or the grocery store, whatever. Your coaching staff is telling you Grant Hedrick gives you the best chance to win this week in Reno. The staff is flat out telling you that by not even opening up a competition. No, Hedrick's the guy. We're game planning as we would normally do, just as if we beat Air Force in Air Force. That's what the coaching staff is saying. Hedrick's our guy. We're moving forward. If you can't comprehend that,
Luke, who's the baddest dude on the team? I mean, if you got to pick a tag team wrestling partner in a dark alley, who you going with, man?
Honestly, that's a tough one, but I would probably go with, I'd have to go with Cam Chancellor.
DP doesn't think it's a big deal if you go to 18 games with records. Like, no one's going to care in 15 years that Eric Dickerson in 1984 still holds the single-season rushing record. I'm a geek, dude. That means something to me. I remember in 2004, 20 years later, when Peyton Manning beat Dan Marino's 1984 also set that year. 84 was a great year for football. You had Marino and Dickerson same year. But Marino threw 48 touchdown passes in 1984 and 5,000 yards. Like, the greatest quarterbacking season still for me ever, considering the times, man, where you could actually cover dudes then. You could touch them and stuff. I look at Marino's 84 still for me as the greatest regular season I've ever seen a quarterback have. And when Manning broke that thing 20 years later in 2004, let me butcher that as many times as I can, 20 years later, that was a special deal, dude. And the reason it was special, DP, and I love you, was because it was the same amount of games, man. I don't know if you guys remember this. Stinky probably does. He's probably the oldest Yahoo that listens to this show that remembers this. But in 1961, when Roger Maris was chasing down Babe Ruth, there was a huge, section. There was a huge population of folks, whether it be a sports writer or just a simple fan, that was saying, Roger Maris, if he doesn't break the record in 154 games or less, it doesn't count. You got to put an asterisk on it. And they did. They listened to those guys. Because Roger Maris hit the final home run on the final day, game 162, because they changed, because baseball expanded. They were adding new teams. They expanded west, so they were adding more games. Baseball went from a 154 to 162 game schedule. And the sports writers, the Ruth protectors, basically it was dudes who protected Ruth. They protected Ruth like dudes protect Jordan now. Like, nobody can touch Jordan. Those guys, Ruth had those guys back too. Or those guys had Ruth's back. Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Look him up.
It's funny, some of the stuff you talk about when you're on a break in the radio business. Kind of have about 4 minutes just to kind of sit there, and if you have something planned, great. What are we going to talk about? How are we going to lead? How are we going to get out of this, Rick? Mm-hmm. And we started talking about, like, just posters we had growing up in our bedroom. And I asked Worthington, what was the coolest poster you had? in your bedroom growing up. And I had a feeling I knew what he was going to say, but he tweeted it out. And then basically I just tweeted out, okay, what was the most memorable sports poster you had in your room as a kid? Now, the cool thing about this is you're going to find people Worthington's age, you know, late 30s, early 40s. They're looking at the Bash Brothers, kind of the Costa Coast Brothers posters of the 80s. You'll find people like Boy Wonder probably coming in with much more new school, maybe a LeBron poster. You know, my generation, free throw line, Michael. Every yeah. kid had that in his room. Or Wings. Remember the Wings
yeah, that
poster
was cool.
with Michael? And you can't forget about this one. It simply says, the ball player. It's Bo Jackson with a pair of shoulder pads and a
the baseball
bat over,
over the top of
I
that.
I mean, who didn't yeah. have that in their room if you were a kid or a sports geek in 1991? So I guess we're going to open it up. If we get any action on the Little Caesars, cool. If not, hey, we tried, Worthington. What was the coolest or most memorable sports poster you had in your room growing up as a kid?